I suppose we should take a vote. Melissa was ready for the end. Are we ready to be done or not? Have we got a minute for the word? Lord, bless my mouth, bless my teaching and my spirit. On the very top row, Miss Ellen, if you would take the far right slider and slide it all the way to the top. And that will cause top right row. There we go. All right. That will stop that flickering. We're working on that. We're working on that other thing with the board. We're working. But you know, like many of us, we're a work in progress, aren't we? Maybe that's the way of the world right now. I was coming to work on Friday morning. I came up Peoria, which is my normal route, and just north of Mississippi. Flashing lights, trucks parked, completely stopped. The road was completely blocked off. And I thought, I don't know how to get around this piece except to go miles around. So I cut through a parking lot, and it came up just parallel to where I could look down the street and see where there was an accident there. And I looked, and I couldn't tell what it was. Well, it must have been an automobile at some time in its life, but it was so destroyed, I wasn't sure what it was. And I had to just stop for a moment and think, how could that much destruction have occurred? How fast was someone going? How massive had this accident been? And I had to pause in prayer, and I thought, my Lord, I hope no one is dead, no one is seriously injured, but I have to wonder. It was a traumatic event. And it wasn't the first I've seen since the reopening has begun to occur. Have some of you driving experienced the same things I have? Impatience and rushing and crowding, and it's hard out there. Psychiatrists classify different ailments. I don't know if you know that, but they have now a new ailment called PCTS, post-COVID traumatic stress. And we laugh a little bit about it, but 16% of nurses are being treated clinically for what they experienced and for what happened there. And I think a lot of people in our society we're all kind of feeling a little bit of tension, and there's some struggle. How many of you have flown since the lockdown? I'm a little bit afraid. I'm not worried about contagion, but the violence on board airplanes is so severe that airlines have stopped serving alcohol on board. That's a major fundraiser for them. They make money off this. But people have been so unhinged. Saturday, there were 3 mass shootings. Normally, when we have a mass shooting event, you'll hear about it all week. You'll have the center of the news story be about what happened and filling you in with the details because it's such a massive and unusual event. But there were 3, and it was only a side story. They listed the 3 in the 3 towns where there had been mass shooting events. They're that common that we are now pushing them to second-rate news. I debated starting my sermon with this because it's so heavy and so dark and so worrisome. Anger and frustration and rage and blame and eruption of emotions. Such a difficult time. But it's important to lift those because we work for the Good Shepherd. My boss is a carpenter, and he is the Good Shepherd that takes care of the sheep. And I have to envision that and think of how important it is to have the Good Shepherd in our midst. Think about that a moment. Think about finding peace. Think about the shepherd carrying the sheep, bringing comfort, calming, helping, healing, teaching, bringing the peace that is a piece of the kingdom of God. That's what it's called, that moving into being with Christ is the kingdom of God, this on earth kingdom of God. That's what Paul was talking about when Diana read it this morning. While we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. And that may be true, the disciples understanding that their connection with Jesus and when he was there and that blessed time with him had departed, and now they were in the midst of the world struggling and they were separated from him. Because we're here on earth. This is not the garden. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago, didn't we? The garden, Adam and Eve, and they one rule, and they had to break that rule. And we are not in the garden. We are in a place where sometimes it's hard work. We would rather be, this is Paul again, we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. We'd rather be centered back on that Holy One, back with the shepherd, back at that place of peace, back in a place of love and compassion. And yet we're not. And yet we are. It was just a couple of weeks ago that we celebrated Pentecost. The disciples were gathered in a room and tongues as a fire descended upon all of them. All of them, all of us, all of you, all of those, and gave them utterance. Spirit filled them. And that is who we are. We are filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's what Paul says, we walk by faith and not by sight. So here we are gathering properly Sunday morning to give worship, to say, thank you, Lord. You got us through another week. Amen. There were good times. There were celebrations. There have been struggles. I don't know about you, but every morning when I get up, I think, say, thank you, Lord, for helping me get out of that bed again this morning. We're making it slowly but surely. Gosh, I wish I had my 16-year-old body back, don't you? Wish you had that health back. It's not going to come, boys and girls, but it is what it is. But we get up, we begin the morning, the day celebrates, and we come to worship. And it's time for us to focus on our job. You realize as Christians, that's where we're about. We have a job to do. Jesus said, go and make disciples. Go out and make disciples of the world. Now, he wasn't just talking about recruiting people to come to church. He was saying, go out into the world, help that world become the world that Christ would have it be. Gather, celebrate, share with people, and share faith. Share the things that we have here, the companionship, the joys of one another's presence, the love that we share with each other. Sometimes we grouch at each other. We're all about being human, aren't we? And sometimes that happens that way. Get just a little gritchy, snitchy sometimes. But the whole world around us is doing that, and we don't do it very strongly with those we love. And we love each other, and we continue on. And the joy and the hope and the celebration of families and life. And we need to share this with the world. We need to share this in a way that the world desperately needs. Several weeks ago, you might remember, we had the story of the Ethiopian eunuch, the queen's treasurer. He's traveling, and he's in his chariot reading from the book of Isaiah. And Philip comes and says, what are you reading? And the man says, well, I'm reading from Isaiah. And Philip says, do you know what you're reading? And the man says, how can I without someone to help me? That's an important thing to hear. People that are searching, people are looking, people are listening, people want to know, but they need a little help. I still need a little help. Every step of the way, I need a little bit of this and a little bit of guidance and a little bit of inspiration. So Philip gets in the chariot and explains to him how Isaiah is prophesying Jesus Christ. And the man listens and he says, here's water. Here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized? And Philip baptizes him. Now Philip has done that work. Go and make disciples of the world. He's offered out and reached a hand out and welcomed and invited in this black man from Ethiopia from a foreign faith, a baby Christian. Can someone show me? He had asked. We are those someones. We are the ones that will go and show and teach and guide and direct, aren't we? Now, I can already hear you saying, yeah, now, but preacher, you have the education and the experience. I don't know the Bible that well. How many of you that was running the back, don't show me your hands. But how many of you were thinking that I wish I knew enough that I could really do this. You preacher, you could do it. I have news for you. The preacher is the last person that can do it, because as soon as people hear that I'm a preacher, their walls go up, impenetrable barriers, because they know that preachers will preach at them, or they think so. I haven't done that yet. I had a neighbor, it took 10 years before he finally began to trust me. He's a friend, and that's what we're about being. But you all, hesitant. Gosh, wish I knew the Bible better. I say that every day. Every time I pull out that book, I pull it up and I think, gosh, I wish I knew it a little better. 40 years I've been working at it. We're getting there. Wish I knew it a little better. And that's a good thing to keep wishing. So how much do we need to know it? How well do you need to know your Bible to be able to offer Christ? How well do you need to be versed in church to be able to offer Christ? And that's what Jesus was talking about. He said, a mustard seed. Some of you gardener types, how big is a mustard seed? Helen? You don't know? Melba? It's little. Thank you so much. I've heard that they're mighty tiny. Louise, are you raising your hand, or are you just trying to think ahead there? I don't know. I can cook. I have salt and I have pepper, and that's my spice rack. So, but mustard seeds are pretty tiny, I'm told. Smaller than a sesame seed, certainly, right? Itty bitty.
When I was a girl, we wore mustard seed bracelets, and it had a magnifying glass about this big, and the mustard seed was in the middle. Otherwise, you could not see the mustard seed.
Did you hear that? She said when they were young, they had bracelets with a mustard seed and a magnifying glass, and it was centered on the mustard seed so you could see it. It was that small. Now, that's pretty tiny. How much information do you think you could get in a mustard seed? About the same amount I can get in my brain, I would think. You know, it just doesn't seem like a whole lot. But now we know about these things. We know about a thing called DNA, a little tiny critter that tells all about us. It's an amazing, tiny package packed with all of the information. Enough information that when they are scattered and then they grow up to be a bush so large that trees, I did it again, birds make their nests in the bush. Somehow I've got it in my head that it grows up to be a bush that trees can make nests in. I don't know how I got the trees substituted for the birds, but you'll understand that it's just stuck there somehow, and I wrote in here, be careful not to make that mistake. So I made it. Here we go. This bush grows to be a huge bush. Do mustard bushes grow around here? Helen? Diana? Do mustard bushes grow here? Larry? Okay, so Larry worked parks and stuff, and they're an invasive species then. Invasive species. Try and get my mouth going here. Okay, so don't be planting those seeds for mustards. We'll be planting seeds for Christianity, but that's all the seeds you need. That much faith. Think about that tiny little seed. And if you have that much faith, it's enough. Think about that. Do you have that much? If you're in here, you do. If you have the slightest iota of saying, I do believe, you have that mustard seed worth of faith. And that is enough when spread across the world to change the world. So what does faith full mean? How much faith makes us full? I believe one seed is enough. that one seed. And listen to what Jesus says when he talks about it. We sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow. We do not know how. The earth produces of itself, first the stalk, then the head, and the full grain in the head. One mustard seed's worth of faith. You don't have to be a Billy Graham. You don't have to be a person so full of faith that the world puts you on the cover of Time. You have to have the faith even as much as a mustard seed, and you can offer Christ. And as we began the sermon this morning, we illustrated that the world needs faith-filled people to share love and faith and compassion and understanding. That's us, boys and girls. So, be creations in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.